Hello, welcome to the MJA podcast. I'm Kate Swanell. One of the success stories of the Closing the Gap initiative has been vaccination against the human papillomavirus. New research published in the MJA shows that, in four states at least, HPV vaccination coverage in Indigenous adolescents has reached record levels. There are still challenges in improving completion of vaccination courses, but there is plenty to celebrate in this new data. Associate Professor Julia Brotherton is Medical Director of the VCS Foundation's Population Health Services. She's lead author on the MJA research, and she's my special guest today. Let's go back to basics a little bit. What's the gap in cervical cancer mortality, incidence, etc., between Indigenous and non-Indigenous populations here?
Okay, so the incidence of cervical cancer is actually more than twice as high for Indigenous Australian women as for other Australian women. And the mortality gap is even greater than that. It's more than three times as high. Now, this is despite, obviously, us having a national screening program since 1991. And we've had recent evidence through some data linkage work that has finally shown us that, yes, it is a lower cervical screening participation rate that's driving a lot of that. So I guess the hope with HPV vaccination was that that might finally be able to close that gap. I think there are other opportunities now with our new HPV-based screening program to potentially provide a more culturally safe and easier to access cervical screening program for all women, including Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. But really, if we can get high HPV vaccine uptake for all Australians, that will be a really great strategy for closing those gaps that still exist.
Tell us a little bit about the design of the study, because you were trying to assess how the vaccine program has been going over the last 3 years, weren't you?
Yeah, so we obviously have had pretty good coverage of HPV vaccine since the start of our program in 2007 nationally, and we've been reporting on that for all Australians. But we, at the beginning of our program, we didn't have very good recording of how many of the people being vaccinated were Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people. And so the registry worked really hard with both Commonwealth and state governments delivering the programs to really improve that recording of that. So at the point of vaccination on the school consent form, the student and parent are asked whether they are Indigenous. And we worked very hard to work out what the barriers were to people reporting that, to programs then reporting it to the register. And I guess over the last, you know, more than a decade, we saw really quite staggering improvements in the quality of that data. And that's really allowed us in this paper to have a look in four of our jurisdictions as to how well we are achieving vaccination of Indigenous adolescents now.
Give us a brief rundown of the vaccination course. Is it three doses?
Yeah, so at the time that these data cover, so that is people who were 12 years old in 2015, so they will be turning 16 this year, we did have a three-dose course. So that was when we had the quadrivalent HPV vaccine, or Gardasil, given at 0, 2, and 6 months under our program. Now, since 2018, we've now moved to the new nine-valent vaccine, given in two doses. But the period of this data, it was when we had a three-dose schedule.
Tell us what your major results were.
What we did, first of all, was made sure that we felt that the data was complete enough for us to report coverage. As I said, data quality has been a problem. And we found that in four jurisdictions, it's now good enough for reporting. And that was New South Wales, Queensland, the Northern Territory, and the Australian Capital Territory. And I'm really pleased to say that in all of those jurisdictions, coverage for dose one, so starting the HPV vaccine course, was over 80% for all Indigenous students.
Terrific.
Which is just fabulous. And in fact, we found that it was very similar in Queensland for Indigenous and non-Indigenous girls. And in fact, in New South Wales, it was higher amongst our Indigenous girls than non-Indigenous girls. So we were really able to document that we've got great take-up rates of the vaccine that seems to be reaching our Indigenous students, which I think is a testament to the work that those jurisdictions have been doing.
Fantastic.
The only bad news we have is that when we have a look across all of those jurisdictions, we see that the rate of completion of the course, so actually getting that third and final dose into students, is lower.
Right.
It's universally lower in both boys and girls than it is against their non-Indigenous peers. And look, I have to say, we don't really know the reason for that. It could well be that things like school attendance or difficulties in accessing that third dose if the child was away from school are disproportionately occurring for Indigenous families.
Right.
We really don't understand. Other research has really shown that when people don't get that third course, it's not because they've decided not to have it. Most of the time it's because they're not aware that they need it, or because they've just forgotten to go and get it. So we do think it's probably logistical reasons rather than people having had bad experiences,
right,
for example. But it really is an area that I think this study has shown us that there's heaps to celebrate, and that there doesn't seem to be any major barriers for Aboriginal students in getting access to the vaccine, or their families choosing to provide it for them to prevent cancer.
Yeah.
But there seems to be that there is some issue in that they're less likely to finish their course. So I think this research really raises that as a challenge for,
yes,
our program.
I'm talking today with Julia Brotherton, lead author of new research on HPV vaccination in Indigenous adolescents, which you can find at mja.com.au. That's the research, not the adolescents. Like all our Indigenous health content and all our research, it is open access. Back to our chat. Was there a drop between dose one and dose two?
Look, there is a small drop, but it's consistent with what you see amongst everybody.
Okay.
So unfortunately, we've, you know, three doses is really hard to get into adolescence,
yeah, right,
generally speaking. And so it's certainly not just an issue for our Aboriginal students. It's an issue for everybody.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think we're very hopeful now we've moved to a two-dose schedule that we'll be able to complete more courses. And I think we're looking very closely now that the HPV vaccine registry data has been moved into the Australian Immunisation Register. We're really watching to see when they're going to release the results from the move to two doses.
Okay.
And I think we very much want to keep the eye on the ball as far as how are we travelling with our Aboriginal students and make sure we can close that gap effectively in the future.
Was there any special strategy employed in regard to Indigenous kids to get them involved in the first place?
Look, I think as we know, we did have a Commonwealth program, and certainly there were some central materials developed for Aboriginal communities and families to find out about the vaccine. And I think particularly when we rolled out the second phase, which was the inclusion of boys in 2013, there were some really terrific resources and videos and comics that were pitched towards Aboriginal students that I thought were great. And of course, the states and territories, they obviously know their populations best and I think have done a lot of great on the ground work. I think it's not really clear how much of that is still ongoing and how much of it is reaching Aboriginal communities and families,
yeah,
now. And as I said, I think that's really an area that we would like to see some more active research in, and particularly around course completion and finding out what's happening on the ground and if our programs can better meet the needs of Aboriginal families to make sure their kids are protected against cancer. The three-dose course had the first two doses spaced quite close together, so
right,
1 to 2 months apart. The new two-dose course is really a prime and then a boost, so it's very important that second dose isn't given too close, and that's why it's recommended at 6 to 12 months after that first dose. So in fact, if some of the problems with that third dose was due to the longer spacing,
mm-hmm,
we may still see those problems with that second dose.
Right.
So I think it's very much an unknown at this stage. I think in principle, absolutely, it should be easier to get two doses in than three.
Yeah.
But I think if it is something around students moving or being more likely to be away in the second half of the school year,
mm-hmm,
or those things, we might see that impacts two doses as well.
Sounds like the awareness program needs its own booster shot.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I know that in the UK, for example, they also moved to a two-dose schedule, and actually found that some of the regions that decided to give it a year apart, so send the school teams in at the start of the year and then come back a year later and give dose two to that first year and then give dose one at the same time, actually had better coverage than those that tried to go in for a second time in the same year at 6 months.
Right.
So I think it might be very dependent on the system that you have, how the schools are organised, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. Yeah. There could be local factors that really impact on that. So it's a bit of a wait and see at the moment. I suppose the good news is, you know, I think as part of the increasing push to make sure we do have great immunisation coverage generally, now that the catch-up vaccination is funded through the age of 19, HPV vaccine is also included in that. So it means that children who do miss out on that second dose at school can now go and see their GP up to the age of 19 and get that dose for free. So that's a really great initiative, which hopefully, as long as people are aware that they need to get that booster as part of their course. So everyone who started with the 9-valent vaccine should be getting two doses, 6 mm-hmm. to 12 months apart. Those who were on the previous 3-dose schedule, if they were 15 or older at the time they started, they still need that third dose. It really depends on the spacing and what schedule you started on. So I think, you know, it's important that practitioners think about that. If they've got a young person in front of them, making sure that they did finish their HPV vaccine course is quite important. It's really important that we do keep seeing transparent, frequent reporting of how we're tracking on coverage, and particularly for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students who, know, we know that there's a big equity gap in cancer outcomes and that this is a really important strategy to close that. So, you know, we're really looking forward, I think is the way to put it, seeing those results coming out of the air soon, hopefully.
Thanks, Julia.
All right. Thanks so much, Kate.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.